Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Austin, Texas has spawned a variety of world-renowned bands over the years that covered a wide variety of styles. Of course, Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble, The Sword, Scratch, Acid, Dangerous Toys, and a band that one day may very well be mentioned in the same breath in the fast-rising, hard-rocking Empty Trail. Comprised of members Rick Lampert, vocals and guitar, Shane Wallen on bass, and Rob Gove on drums. The band was started elsewhere, but the band essentially formed here in Austin, recalls Lampert. However, it has been a personal project of mine since the spring of 2013 while I was living in Los Angeles. I thought it would be better to start a band in Austin because of the highly saturated market in Los Angeles. I went through a couple of members, but eventually found the full live band in the summer of 2016. I decided to keep it as a three-piece. It seemed a bit less expected. Empty Trail's most recent single, My World, Lampert and company have already solidified their sound. Lampert states, "I think Empty Trail's sound takes bits and pieces of the most iconic hard rock metal bands while maintaining authenticity. I've always wanted things to be relatable and believable. I don't really want to be limited to a box. I'm sure every artist says this, but it's true. I think the music fits the mold of catchy and even poppy at times, which seems to be what's going around, but it comes from a real place. I'm in music because this keeps me going. I have something I need to say, something I need to let out, because if I bottle it up, it is destructive. Yes, it's rock, and it's exciting, and I want everyone to have a great time. But if you are listening, I hope it makes you feel understood. Somewhere where you can be free and not judged for who you are." Please welcome guitarist and vocalist with the great new band Empty Trail, Rick Lampert, to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Rick.
Hey, how you doing, Ray?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Another great band from the Austin area, but you are originally from Wisconsin, is that right?
Yeah, it's true. A little warmer here in Austin. I like that.
Oh, big time. I saw some of the temperatures. I think Wisconsin was in the minus.
Yeah, it's like record lows, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, glad to not be shoveling or snow blowing.
Exactly. I don't miss those days, man. I tell you that.
I like how it looks. I just don't like the living in it.
I know. You and me both. I did my homework. Here are some guys from Wisconsin, some legends. Les Paul, Steve Miller, the band Garbage, Violet Femmes, Al Jarreau, Robin Zander. These guys were all from Wisconsin. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that, really, especially Les Paul.
Yeah, I didn't know that either, actually. I didn't know that until you said it right now. I know, like, Weezer's from Wisconsin. I think it was, like, one of the few ones that I know because it's kind of close to Kenosha. But, Yeah. Violet Femmes, too.
Violet Femmes, yeah.
I knew that one.
Yeah. Robin Zander from Cheap Trick.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something I want to state about Empty Trail. If you miss rock music and those iconic alternative rock and grunge bands of the 90s, which have lost its most influential band members, unfortunately, due to drugs and suicide, which is a real sad thing because the 90s was probably, in my opinion, probably the last decade of rock music. You can call it any form you want, you know, as far as alternative rock, grunge, or whatever. But that was it for rock, man, after that, you know. Empty Trail is an awesome band. And you guys are very, very talented. I think you're kind of across your vocal styles between Chris Cornell and Lane Staley. What do you say about that?
Yeah, I've always gotten that. That's probably like the biggest, like, when people hear Empty Trail, they're like, you know, kind of got this 90s vibe to it. I think it probably is showcased most from my voice. Always got the Lane Staley thing and Chris Cornell. And, I don't know. I guess it's a good thing because I like them both, so.
Well, that's the thing. You know, if a lot of people that miss those bands, you know, it's a really good thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think Empty Trail definitely has, like, a for sure, like, throwback feel. So if you really did like that time period and like the greats, I think you would like this band, you know, and then also taking it into a more modern approach, I suppose. But yeah, that's probably when people hear Empty Trail, they think, like, they kind of feel like the grunge 90s, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden type thing.
Well, My World is your new single, and you have the official lyric video now that's out,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. I tell you, man, this single should be on the opening of a new James Bond film. It gives me that feel, you know?
That's awesome. I got to get in contact with the right people. I got to get a sync deal going.
It's a great song. I really, really like it. You know, I'm glad you guys are around because I'm really sick and tired of the, the bands in mainstream, on radio, you know, the Taylor Swifts and, I just can't take it anymore. You know, back in the 90s, you know, mainstream radio was bands like you.
Yeah. Like I said, the throwback thing, I know it's tricky, but glad to be just doing, I guess, what feels right to us and not following those trends. But I have nothing against it either, so I appreciate all types of music.
Now, do you have a new album coming out, or is it an EP?
EP, we have a 4-song EP.
Right.
It was originally released January, but we have a song on, we have actually My World on radio right now. So, where that goes, we'll probably release the EP March, maybe early March, maybe late February. It's kind of hard to say right now. We also have a music video.
Oh, great.
Coming out with the title track. The EP will be called Lost. So as soon as we kind of get all the information we need, we'll make announcements about it. But hopefully probably early March or late February.
Right. I understand that the 4 tracks are going to be Lost, Wait Around, Reality, and Every Toll. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that.
Thank you. I know we really like it. It kind of was a different, I think these 4 songs, especially My World, are really stepped in a different direction because since this project was like a personal thing that got started out in Los Angeles and I did do a bulk of songwriting, the live band didn't really become itself in like us 2 years ago.
Right.
So these songs are really a step as like the full band kind of developing a sound together. So I'm really excited to get these out because it's like where we're at now.
Now most of those songs were written on acoustic guitar, is that right?
Yeah, the new ones were.
Uh-huh.
Kind of took a different approach to it. I mean, when I was working with the drummer, Rom Gov, his brother, Kafir Gov, kind of pushed my songwriting in a bit of a different direction. So I guess I kind of came at these songs from a different angle than I normally would, like writing my guitar riffs and stuff and going to the whole band thing and then putting vocal on top, and it kind of was a whole different process. So, but I like the certain recipe, and I hope the dish tastes good.
I'm sure it will. Now, are you guys, how did you guys record the new songs? Were you guys all together in the studio? I know there's a lot of, you know, this one guy's in one state, one guy somewhere else, and they're sending, you know, stuff in the mail or email, and then it's put together, you know. Are you guys actually in the studio when you're doing this?
Yeah, we're all in the studio for sure. I mean, like I said, I kind of, with these songs, did the bulk of the songwriting, and then we would kind of sit in pre-production with the whole band, and we'll come to the studio and kind of just go part by part, be like, hey, what do we want to do here? We want to do this. So, I mean, everything was really, really thought out. And then when we came to the tracking phase of everything, everyone knows kind of what they're doing. And I do feel our band is pretty good musicians, so it didn't take very long to just kind of sit in the studio and just do a couple takes and cool, you know, nailed it and move on. And then drummer's brother, Kafir, he mixed all the tracks too, which I think probably took the longest time.
Right.
Because that's always kind of like, you know, how do we want it to necessarily sound or come off? But the actual, like, band playing aspect, I think, took pretty quick. And no crazy, like, sending from Canada or whatever going on. Although mixing a lot of, you know, back and forth emails for sure, but that's how we all communicate nowadays, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Facebook and Instagram. And
yep. Now, are you producing the music?
Yeah. I mean, Kafir Gov, I mean, we kind of, you know, he pushed me in certain directions, but I mean, we essentially are producing it together. I kind of come in with like a pretty specific idea in my head. So, you know, but having four people in a room, it's natural to just have, you know, one little person's thought, you know, lead to someone else, and then all of a sudden it turns into a bigger idea.
Right.
You know.
So, how did you guys meet? What I understand is, I don't know if it was your drummer or your bass player you met on Facebook. Is that right?
Drummer. So when I moved here to Austin,
right.
I guess it's been 4 years now. It's crazy. 4 years ago. I mean, I was kind of just scouting band members. I knew I wanted to create this, and I went out to a show, and I just found Rom. He was actually session drummer at the time, so he was playing with a band. And I just instantly was like, you know, I want to work with him. And I went up and talked, and I guess the rest is history in that regard. Bass player Shane Wallen, when I was looking for a bass player, it really was just Facebook, like, messages.
Huh.
You know, because it's kind of like, you know, nowadays, you know, what is the, I mean, maybe you could, like, do flyers. Back in the day, I feel like flyers maybe are not as effective.
Right.
But, you know, it's kind of like the Facebook just kind of messaging people, you know, hey, anyone know a bass player? And got a couple responses. And we actually still joke about it because he told me, he's like, you know, oh, who is this guy, you know, messaging me? You know, I'm not going to listen to it. He said, I'll give it a listen. You know, and he listened to it. I was like, oh, I really dig this. I want to be a part of it. And he's actually a guitar player first, who basically is like, hey, I'll play bass.
Right.
You know, I like it enough that, you know, let's do it, I'll play bass. So I think it's just funny that if he didn't open that message, you know, it could be very different. Yeah. Someone else could maybe potentially be in the band or stuff, but...
The power of Facebook, man. I tell you, I've gotten several interviews from Facebook that I became friends with.
Really?
Yeah, and one was Ed King, who was the great guitar player from Lynyrd Skynyrd, who just passed away, and you know, we hooked up on Facebook, and it's amazing, you know, what the people that use it. It's, I mean, sometimes it's better than email, you know. It's just,
yeah, no, I mean, it really is. I mean, I think it's kind of like bulk how I kind of communicate, or just kind of, you know, network and keep, you know, connections in that regard.
Now, how'd you come up with Empty Trail?
Band name?
Yeah.
Let's see. I still remember being in Los Angeles. I forgot if this was in the bio, laying in my bed. Just kind of thinking, you know, I think one of the first things is that there's just so many different band names, and it's like everything's been thought out. And one of the big things is trying to create something that, you know, is unique or maybe isn't being used for something else. But Empty Trail basically was from my core purpose feelings of just, I don't know, coming to maybe the existential thoughts of, you know, what is my purpose, you know, where am I going, you know, and kind of just being very confused within that. So Empty Trail, I guess, was just kind of like, I guess, a canvas of making your own purpose moving forward, and mm-hmm. it's a path, and everyone follows their own path, but maybe it doesn't have as such an intrinsic purpose other than the one that we give it to ourselves personally. So it kind of is at the root of just my being, I suppose. And yeah, I mean, it kind of just all came together, like I said, trying to figure out a band name that hasn't been used. That wasn't used. It made perfect sense with everything, and it just kind of fit like a glove, I suppose.
I think it's a great name.
Thank you.
Yeah. I remember growing up, my kids, you know, playing Oregon Trail.
there you go.
Reminds me of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I listened to you released a couple of EPs. You got Obscured was, I guess, the first one. That only had like several songs on it, right? Three or four songs on it.
Three songs.
Three songs.
Only actually available on, I think it's on YouTube, and then it's also on Bandcamp.com.
Right.
But that one was distributed through like Spotify, iTunes, everything like that. So you can only really get it on Bandcamp, and I think it's a free download. So
yep.
Go for it.
It's a, you know, it's a great EP. I love it. You know,
thank you.
Every song is powerful. And then you have Hollow Hearted, which was another EP. And then, of course, your full length album, Bear, which I think was released in 2016. Is that right? Somewhere around there?
Yep. Bear was kind of like on the tail end of when I moved here to Austin. And that's when the full band started getting introduced, or the live band getting introduced. And Rom is actually on, I think, four tracks on that album, and then there were other drummers that were helping out for the other ones. And that's why I'm so, you know, so we're so excited going forward at this new EP in my world, because the band is finally developed into what it is now, and its own identity.
Right.
So.
Well, I love the front, the album cover for Bear. I mean, everybody's got to see that.
Yeah, all the mannequins. That was actually done, graphic designer out in Los Angeles named Nick Cassell.
Uh-huh.
And he's basically done all the artwork for everything at Empty Trail since its infancy. And, yeah, no, I dug that.
It's a great album cover.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I gave all three. I gave the album and the EPs all 5 stars, man. It's that good.
You guys, thank you.
You guys are that good.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
The Bear, which is very, I don't know, I want to say kind of Soundgarden Super Unknown. It's got that kind of rhythm and mechanics, in my opinion.
Totally.
Yeah. And you got, of course, your opening track, In the Noose, which is Soundgarden has a track called Pretty Noose.
Yeah, that's true.
Was that a coincidence?
No, actually not. I mean, yes, it is a coincidence. I wouldn't I definitely wasn't thinking that song when that was written. I guess it has the word noose in it.
Right.
I guess it is a weird time signature, too.
Yeah.
You compare both the songs. But, you know, because I think, like, sometimes as an artist, you always go back to things you've created, and you can start to see, like, oh, that wasn't a coincidence. Like, I see that I like this, and that's kind of, you know, because I think as an artist, you know, we're just sponges of everything that we like, and then when we shoot it back out, we don't even make a conscious, like, connection of like, why we like something when we create it. It's, like, actually because it reminds us of something that, you know, inspired us. But I think with that song, probably not. I think other than just the word noose in it,
mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I'd equate to that, really.
It's amazing how much musicians have, you know, in their subconscious, you know, other songs, other tunes. I mean, that's every band. You can find some influence somewhere, you know, from another band. It's
I just did like another interview a little while ago, mm-hmm. and I think the question was, is it hard to just make a sound that's completely yours? And then I'm like, well, I don't think like anyone's sound is ever completely theirs.
No.
You know, it's kind of like it's just always picking bits and pieces of things that you love and bringing it together, and I guess the recipe together of all the different ingredients makes it different, but really we are just little sponges pulling from, you know, everything we like, movies, TV shows, a certain car brand, I don't know, you know, music. So I think it's kind of just interesting how that happens.
Yeah, now, you know, years later, I mean, I love Led Zeppelin, but there's so many songs that they copied. You know?
I know, I saw that. I couldn't believe it. When like the video came out and it was just like all these older blues rock songs that were just, I was like, what? That's like kind of with the Greta Van Fleet thing.
Oh my God. Why is Greta Van Fleet even this popular? It doesn't make sense to me.
You know, I always thought like, well, you know, maybe the fact that they sound like Led Zeppelin is the big talking point that's made them very popular.
Right.
But maybe if they didn't, no one would talk about it, and then it would have not even got as big as it did. That's my theory. But so I think that's actually like a good thing for them.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess you're right. Because, you know, there's a lot of bar bands that, you know, sound, you know, just as good as Zeppelin nowadays. And, you know, they're not as big as that band.
Yeah, you know? It's all confusing.
It is confusing. The music business is confusing. It really is.
To say it lightly, yes.
Well, I'm glad I'm on the you know, not I like doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can be objective and do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Track number 5, The Thought. Wow, it's kind of a Black Sabbath intro, and then it gets into Alice in Chains. That's one of my favorites. That's a great tune.
I appreciate that. I've actually gotten a lot of kind of positive remarks specifically that song, which is interesting too, because, you know, when you write these, you know, that actually isn't a track that stuck out to me. Like, this is going to be one that people are really going to dig.
Right.
But there must be something about that one. So I appreciate that.
Incredible song.
And thank you.
Something, you know, you got really great lyrics. And I love the name of I think it's the track 8, The Lips of Serenity.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's another one that you're really sounding a lot like Chris, which is to me is a great thing, because I was a big Soundgarden Audioslave fan. I love Chris. He was great. You know, he was more, you know, a little younger than me, but we were kind of, you know, closer in age and everything. And,
mm-hmm.
and to have someone that reminds you of Chris and that great music and everything, I think it's a wonderful thing. I think a lot more people are going to catch on to the band, and they're going to be real happy, you know?
I appreciate that. I do think this band does have kind of probably a nostalgic feature to it regarding that aspect. Lips Serenity 2, another kind of, I guess, fan favorite. Yeah, the Thought and the Serenity seem to be the high points of Bear, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And you got some slower tracks later on in the album. Acoustic Wide, Hideaway.
Mm-hmm.
And you got This Place I've Created, another, you know, it's like a great ending to a great album. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep. Let's see. There was one song on here. Oh, Rust. Very heavy track, man. That's another great, great, great song. Really like that one, too. Yeah. And another tune, Swim. And again, very hard rock, very Alice in Chains, like two of my favorite bands of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you guys have an engineer on this, or was that you too?
Let's see. Bear. Oh, I can give you the whole backstory about this. Mm-hmm. This would be funny for people that I guess maybe aren't in this realm listening. So, all the vocals were recorded in my apartment for Bear.
Right.
In just a closet.
You're kidding me.
all the guitars were tracked. Also, just in my apartment, I actually got them reamped, so some direct signal of the guitars, and basically put them through a real amp where they were. And this is actually totally what you were saying before about sending stuff. So the mixer on this, his name is George Lever.
Right.
In the UK. He mixed it and mastered it. And yeah, I actually sent him all the tracks, and then he reamped stuff through an amp over at his studio. And then drums were the only thing that had to actually be engineered on this. Because I did bass on Bear, actually, as well, in my apartment. Drums were done at Mesa Recording Studios with Rob Linton here in Austin. With, actually, how many drummers? The first drummer, Chris Farrell, here in Austin, he tracked on some songs. Sean Eubanks tracked on some songs. And this is right in the tail when I met Rom. And then Rom finished out the tracks at his brother's studio.
Wow.
And that's where we've been ever since. So ever since we made a connection, you know, he's been the drummer. Everything's been done at their studio. And I still remember, like, when I met him, and I kind of had the idea of the songs that they were recorded. And he's like, oh, yeah, I can record this tomorrow.
Hmm.
And I'm, like, kind of, like, panicking, like, oh, I've been down this situation before, you know, overconfident, but literally just showed up at the studio, and he just, like, nailed all three songs, like, spot on. So.
That's crazy.
He's a great drummer, for sure.
Most of the great songs, you know, great tracks are just done, like, in like, one take, you know, real quick, or, you know, the more you work on it, the more you start thinking about it, and it'll never turn out the same as your first couple takes, you know?
You know, you're so right. Like, I have so many theories about kind of creating art, and it's just like, I think maybe the most authentic art is just letting it come out and just being what it is,
right,
and don't pick at it too much.
Right.
You know, because I think it's like instinctual to want to just be like, I can make this better and do that better. And then you get yourself into this mindset that you're just like, I don't even know what I'm looking at anymore. I'm just totally like, is this, like, you know?
Yeah. That's exactly right, man. And something, you know, when you have mistakes, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's kind of funny because it's like, you never view your art the same way as, you know, a fan does. And it's like, you know, like all these like albums and songs that you love, if you actually sat down with like the guitar player, the singer, and they're like, oh, I just can't stand listening to that track, even though, you know, Don't Stop Believing, maybe like, you know, oh, I hated that vocal take and I can't believe they used it. And, you know, you would never know that. So, just, I guess it's for the fans, it's for the audience, and you just have to detach from it and realize that everyone's going to see it differently.
That's true. Yeah, I talked to Billy Cobham. He's a friend of mine, great drummer. And they did this, I don't know if you remember the Spectrum album with Tommy Bolin on it. And they were just improvising, and it just came out. And, you know, I think it was like one take. And it turned out to be one of the greatest albums ever. you know?
It's crazy. It's like, and you have these, like, iconic guitar solos, and then you could talk to somebody and be like, oh, yeah, I just totally, hey, record, go, play something.
Yeah.
And that, that became, like, you know, Freebird solo, you know, or
right.
something. So, never know. It's crazy.
Yeah, I talked to Ed King. You know, he's the one who wrote Sweet Home Alabama, and he says, I was just playing on my guitar one day, you know, and
yep.
and then Ronnie Van Sant put in the vocals, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's just amazing how things, and again, Ronnie Van Sant was another guy who didn't, you know, nothing was overproduced. You know, he did things really quick, fast, and usually
mm-hmm.
one take. So, I think that's a great thing, you know, and I can tell.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And the way you guys play your music, man, you gotta be good live. I mean, you know, you got to come out with more dates.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, so like right now, I mean, we have a local show February 22nd,
right,
in Austin. Really, what we're trying to do right now is we're trying to get a national tour in order.
Good.
So, and sometimes behind the scenes, this just takes a little longer than we want, you know. So, but that's really what we're shooting for, trying to get happening. That's kind of where we're at with that. Only two shows on the calendar right now, but this could completely change,
right.
You know, with the tour situation. Could, you know, instantly announce a ton of dates. February 22nd at Dirty Dog Bar in Austin, Texas.
Right.
And then, oh gosh, I should know this, shouldn't I? If you look on the EmptyTrill.com site in August, which
right.
is a very long time away, we also have another show in Pflugerville.
Well, I interview a lot of legendary rockers, and they all say the same thing. You got to get out there and tour. Doesn't matter if it's a small club, you know. They tell me that's the only way to make it. You know, I mean, we've got so many avenues today. You know, you got YouTube, and there's so many other ways you can do things, but there's nothing like being out there in the public and getting your name out.
Yeah, no, we're all very, very, like, wanting to get out in the road.
Right.
So as soon as the stars align, like, we're going to be out there.
Yep.
And then maybe once it happens, we definitely won't be stopping doing that, so.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool to do an overseas thing, too, eventually, you know, because.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
There's so many guys that get so big overseas, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I mean, a lot of people stayed there. I mean, one example, I don't know if you remember Susie Quattro, but she was, she got so big in England and in Europe that she stayed there. She never came, she's from Detroit. She never did come
mm-hmm.
back. There was no need to come back. She was so big over there.
Yeah, right. If bulk of your fan base is out there, you got to stay with them.
Yep. And I could see you guys being big in Holland and probably Japan. And, I mean, you know, the European crowd and the overseas crowd sometimes, nowadays, are sometimes a bit smarter than the Americans as far as music. Because they stick to the basics of yesteryear, you know. They still love the classic rockers and the music from back then, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think so. I think there's a bigger fan base for rock, what we do, definitely out there, as opposed to America right now. Who knows? Maybe like the Greta Van Fleet, and, you know, as much as whatever people think about that, you know, it could be introducing or reigniting a spark in the younger generation of people that enjoy rock music, and that could just all change, you know, down the road. But yeah, I hear you. I mean, I'd love to get out to like Japan or something. I've just been wanting to go out there in general. So to have an excuse to go out to play music would be amazing.
And you know what's cool? You guys are a power trio, so it's not going to be that expensive. It's not like
yep,
you have to
yep,
bring a
yep,
big band.
Yep, yep, that is absolutely correct.
Yeah. I love the power trio. I'm always a big fan of that. You know, if you can produce music like that from three guys, it just puts everybody else to shame. You know, I would have you guys opening up for Greta Van Fleet so I can blow them off the stage.
Hey, I like it. Let's make that happen.
Yeah, no problem.
someone, call someone, and let's do it.
Exactly. And we'll get you on the Bond, the next Bond film.
Hey, these are good ideas. These are good ideas. We need to make them happen now.
Now, are you happy with, you know, what? I know your PR people. I've been dealt with them for a long time. They're great people. But is there anything else you're doing to really, you know, get the word out? I mean, I'll do as much as I can on my side, but...
Yeah, so, well, I mean, right now, I mean, everything is, there's so much going on online. So I know my world is doing pretty good on Spotify right now.
Right.
Like I said, we have this music video coming out for Lost, and that's going to be, I think, a game changer in the way that we can kind of introduce people to the band. So thinking of kind of ideas right now of how we want to push that out there. Let's see. My world is right now at radio.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be charting, I believe, next week.
Oh, great.
With that song. Let's see what else. Yeah, so we're just kind of like waiting on those things right now, and the big thing is like the tour situation. So
yeah,
once that happens, that's going to kind of supplement everything and move kind of everything together. So.
Yeah, that's huge. You know, you said, you know, even though the sound, you're reminiscent of the 90s, you actually were influenced by a lot of 80s metal bands. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I was first a guitar player, so I remember getting introduced to Metallica for the first time, and I guess in my young brain, I haven't heard anything like that, and it really did inspire me. You know, and then all the other kind of great bands of that time period, you know, were on my map. I think my most obsessed band of all time was Megadeth.
Mm-hmm.
I still love Dave Mustaine. I love, you know, the music that he's written, the whole style, everything. I wouldn't say, I mean, I see like aspects of like Empty Trail and the guitar work and stuff definitely being reminiscent of Megadeth, although people don't really mention that, but that's something that I see, knowing it's a big influence. Same thing for Rahm. I know he's a big Nick Menza fan.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace. And let's see, what else? Pantera. I mean, all the greats, really essentially from that. Testament.
Mm-hmm.
All the thrash metal stuff. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny that you're into that metal, but you know, it's so hard in my mind, being such a Soundgarden fan, that I hear your voice as Chris Cornell. It's amazing. I mean, do other people say you sound like Chris?
Wait, say that one time. Do other people say what?
Do other people say you sound like Chris Cornell?
Yeah, I've definitely gotten that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's definitely a big throwback to that. I mean, I definitely was influenced by Chris Cornell and Soundgarden, and I guess I wear that proudly.
Yeah.
You know, one of the artists that really, I think, when I was maybe 17 or 18 or something, I mean, that's really when I got introduced to, because like I was, like I said, guitar player first. It wasn't until I started coming into a singer as my own that I started to really, you know, latch on to like the 90s thing, because the 90s thing to me was just a very authentic time period.
Yes.
And that's just something that I really connected with, you know, people singing about things that really touched me, that seemed, you know, right with what was going in my mind. Not to say that, you know, having a good time and partying and all this stuff is not cool, but it just wasn't really where my mind was at. So connecting with these certain artists, it just seemed very genuine to me, really inspired me, you know, and like the Scott Weiland and the Wayne Staley. I've always got the Wayne Staley thing.
Yep.
And of course Chris Cornell, Eddie Vedder. I've gotten that one at points. So I mean, I know my voice and kind of how it's come to be has definitely been influenced within the 90s realm for sure. And then I think guitar work has been, you know, from the 80s, Metallica, Megadeth,
yep.
Personally,
yep.
For me, you know, and then what the rest of the band brings into the sound. You know, I know Rom is a big Seven Dust fan.
Yep.
Shane, he's been kind of the 90s thing too. He really likes bands like one of his favorite bands of all time is Smile on Soul, which I wasn't as familiar with. But, you know, looking forward to developing this band more moving forward, you know, now that the right things are in place and kind of making the sound of the band even more unique than just maybe from where my influences, you know, lie when this project was started.
Well, you're an excellent guitar player, man. I hear your licks in a lot of the songs, you know, and it's awesome guitar playing. Where do you want your guitar skills to be, say, a year from now?
I don't know. I don't really, it's kind of weird. I don't really put, as much thought into my guitar playing skills as maybe I did when I was younger.
Right.
I kind of feel like I can do what I can do. And, I mean, there was a part where, you know, I'd sit down with the guitar for, 6 hours a day practicing scales and, getting everything super clean and playing, you know, 500 million notes per second. But then I kind of, stopped that race, I guess, in a sense. I don't really necessarily see developing my guitar playing. I think, at least for me, it's just been more like songwriting, you know, like how to continually develop a sound of a band to really, you know, when somebody hears a song, they go, which is really difficult nowadays, for somebody to hear a song and go, this sounds really fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard something quite like this.
Right.
I see influences, I see how this is and that is, and I see where they did this, but there's something very unique about this band that it kind of sits on its own, you know, which is a very tricky goal to try to muster, but that's kind of where my mind's been in, trying to take influences and weird things and putting them together in a way that really inspires other people. You know, the same way that, you know, whenever, you know, for me, when I heard Metallica in itself, that was at that point, I'd never heard anything like that.
Right.
You know, and it was what is this? But to, try to create something like that nowadays, it's very difficult, but that's probably where my mind's at.
How will you define success for the band?
I guess that's a hard one. I guess everyone defines success differently, huh? I mean, if anything already, I mean, where things have gotten, I feel like it's a big, big success.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to be able to tour around consistently,
right,
you know, maintain, you know, the right fan base, and to just be able to continually do that for a living, you know, I think would be major success in my mind, you know. But it all depends. I mean, it's all relative, I suppose. I guess, you know, when you set out goals and then you reach them, then you gotta, create more goals, you know. And then you start to change the bar of where you consider success, you know. But I'd say right now, I mean, if, you know, Empty Trail would, you know, get on a national tour, be consistently touring around, you know, creating new material, that to me would be a big success right now.
Yeah. So that's going to be your objective, I guess, is the touring, I guess, is you know, get your name out there. And,
yep.
Yeah. I think people are going to love the band. I mean, you're going to get a few people that get pissed off because you sound like Chris or Lane, but that's normal. You know, that's just if they're going to accept Greta Van Fleet, I mean, come on.
I mean, people are just, you know, everyone has something to say, and some people are going to like and dislike, you know, anything you put out there.
Right.
That's just the way it is. But, yeah, maybe some people not like it, but whatever, I guess.
But a lot of people miss Chris You know, and you know, why do you think? I mean, I am shocked of all these 90 guys, you know, passing away, suicide, you know, the drug thing. I mean, it just blows me away, you know, and especially the depression, you know, with all the medications and everything they got today, and none of that helped, you know, it just freaks me out, you know, and you know, just recently Dolores O'Riordan, I mean, where did that come from, you know? Why do you think that is? You have any idea why these guys just kind of burn out or whatever?
I mean, you know, and this is kind of like what my world was about. You know, it's about, you know, we go our day to day life, you know, and hey, how's it going? Oh, it's going good. What about you? You know, and kind of put on that fake face, but at the end of the day, I mean, as human beings, we all have our own personal struggles, and many times we don't get the full story, you know, when somebody does something like that, I think it's maybe easy to, from the outside, be like, that's like just ridiculous, you know, how could anyone do something like that, but it's like, we don't have the full story, we have no idea, like, you know, people's experience growing up, and how that's made them feel about themselves, and why they feel like they need to do things that they do, and behind the scenes of, you know, family members, and you know, so I think anybody has, and this is like the trick, I guess, the world is in a sense that you can get yourself into dark thought patterns, and I think sometimes, at least for me, I actually do feel it's like it's sometimes easy to do,
right?
But I think you have to stay away from that to keep yourself, you know, healthy mentally,
right?
You know, and then really you can choose to look at positive things and look at the good in the world, or you can choose to look at the negative in the world and, you know, think, well, that's unfair and this should be this way, and get yourself into a really bad place that, you know, people do bad things to themselves, you know, or to others because they get themselves in a really bad train of thought, you know. So, I mean, I guess it's absolutely horrible that people have done this, but at the same time, it's like, you know, look at what he's been singing about for years and years and years and years, you know, and it's like, I guess it's like kind of maybe asking for help in a way, you know, and I think maybe, I guess if you haven't gotten the bad thought patterns like that, you maybe you couldn't relate to the lyrics or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know, it's sad. You don't ever want to see someone's story in that way, you know, and especially someone who's like, you know, your idol or great. I mean, you don't want to see someone go down that way. That's definitely not a feel-good topic by any means. But I don't know. I think just living in somebody's actual shoes is just so different than observing it from the outside, because you only are getting bits and pieces of the full story, you know. So it is absolutely shocking and jarring when somebody does that, because it's just like, what the heck?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and that's why I think I understand people are like, oh, well, you know, he was murdered or something like that, because it just doesn't make any sense. Like, what the heck?
Right.
I had no idea, you know. So, I don't know. Those are just my thoughts and theories, but once again, they're just my opinions. So.
Well, that was well said, man. You hit it right on the head. You really did.
I appreciate it.
I lost my best friend from suicide, and it, you know, shocked the hell out of me. You know, we grew up together, and this only happened like a couple of years ago. So, you know, I'm still shaking my head.
You never know what someone else is going through unless you ask. And even then, I mean, it's instinctually part of us to not share those dark sides.
Right.
You know, we don't want to. And it makes us vulnerable, you know. But you never know what's going on in someone's mind, you know, day after day, you know. And this could be something that's shocking to us, but this could be something that somebody's been struggling with for years.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. And then, you know, as a fan, you don't see it. You know, you just hear the good things and the great music and that kind of thing. Same thing with you know, Robin Williams. I mean, that's another, you know, heartbreaking case where...
Really is.
Guy looks so happy on stage, having a great time, you know, so intelligent, you know, and it just blows you away, you know? It's like, what?
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that this kind of is a core of, you know, when you read the bio, I mean, this is why for me it's like I always enjoy thinking of creating an environment, you know, where you can kind of bring down those walls and just kind of be real for a little bit, because I think think it's really cathartic to do that, so that, you know, people don't feel isolated in their own issues, and there's no way that they can talk or express this, or, you know, or the kind of instinctual way you never talk about anything, you think you're the only one dealing with it, you know, in a sense. So I think that's kind of like the purpose of like the empty trail, kind of like what I've, you know, pushed deeper than just the actual, like, you know, guitar playing or singing or music. It's about connecting to people, you know, in that way, you know, and if you don't get to those levels, that's amazing, you know, but for the people that need that connection to kind of be like, hey, it's cool, you know, we're going to get through this, you know, together, you know, I think it's really beneficial.
How is the rapport with you and your bandmates? I mean, can you talk to them like you're talking to me, pretty much? Or,
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good. That's important.
Yeah, we all know that. We're all on the same page, you know, and like I said, I couldn't ask for a better band. Just chemistry-wise, you know, like, musician-wise, I mean, I know that we're all pretty good at what we do.
Yeah.
But just as, like, friends, you know, and the kind of, like, candidness of just being open, I think is really beneficial, too, because if it was with people that you just don't really see eye to eye, and there's kind of that weird tension and stuff, I mean, I don't think in the long run it will work out. So, I mean, everything's really good, so.
Well, you really sound like you got everything together. You sound great. You know, I just stay that way.
I appreciate it. No, I'm really excited. I want to get on tour. You know, I want to, like, kind of spread the band and, I guess, the message, too. Yeah. You know, there's something deeper here than just, you know, rock music.
Right.
In my mind.
Sure. So. Yeah, you know, and like you were saying before, the 90s was a special time for these guys because they were very creative, you know, they sang from the heart and soul, you know, which a lot of groups don't anymore. They're all commercialized and, you know, it's you know, important we have bands and songwriters and musicians like you guys. And
yeah, I mean, just to get like something in the mainstream eye that's just,
exactly.
Real, I think is good, you know, because it's kind of when everything is so fabricated and just kind of trying to get your attention and all about like just selling and selling and selling, I think it just starts to warp the general public perception and how people feel about themselves and feel about the world. So I just think getting more just authenticity in front of a lot of people could be really good.
Yeah, there's too much visual and not enough, you know, of the music, you know, a lot of dancing going on and stage.
Yeah, right? I mean, with like all the Instagram stuff and all the social media platforms, it's like it's infiltrated our minds.
Yeah, it's sad. It really is. And you know, here's a guy that grew up in the 60s with the best music of all time on the radio, you know? And I was a top 40 disc jockey back in the late 70s, too, when music was good, still good. I mean, we had disco, but you had new wave, you had punk, the Ramones were out. You know, you had a nice variety of stuff. You still had rock. Led Zeppelin was on top 40 radio. So it was a great mix of music, and it's hard to find that nowadays. You got to go on blog radio, or I guess you got to go on, you know, like Sirius, I guess, you know, XM or whatever it is nowadays. Rick, here's your final question. And I ask everybody the same question, get very interesting answers. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, you know, like the movie, to perform or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be? And they could be passed on. That's fine.
Gosh. Trying to think what would be the first one that comes to mind. I don't know. I mean, I guess like since we're on the topic of it, I mean, I'd love to have met Chris Cornell and just kind of picked his brain.
Yeah.
Like just kind of get to know like who he is, and not even just like just music wise, but I feel like I relate to a lot of aspects of what was going on in his mind maybe. And I would love to just connect with that. Let's see who else going up. Oh, gosh, it's sad, but, like, Chester Bennington from Linkin Park, I'd love to talk to him, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess for me, it's, like, not even, like, just, it's not music, it's just more kind of, like, the person, you know, and kind of, like, what's behind the lyrics and stuff and getting to understand these people.
How about
Blaine Staley, too, maybe?
Yep.
What were you going
to
say?
How about going way back to, like, say, Jimi Hendrix?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great. I mean, like, it's like I said, it's so hard to, like, pick one, you know?
Right.
Like, there's a lot of people that, you know, Jimi Hendrix, yes, I'd love to collaborate with him. You know, I don't know if it would make sense musically, but I'd love to see Michael Jackson do something there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, gosh, it's so hard to say.
Yeah.
But I think it gave you a couple.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure Led Zeppelin's be involved. If, you know, maybe Jack Bruce as a bass player, great songwriter with
Dio, maybe.
Yeah. It's funny that not those 90s guys now are considered classic rock. Can you believe it?
It's crazy.
I interview a lot of those guys now. I interviewed Candlebox recently, and I did Saliva. I mean, these guys are great. It's great to talk to these guys, but you know, I wish they were still, you know, really powerful in the mainstream like they were at one time. But they're still out there. They're still out there.
Mm-hmm.
Rick, thank you so much, man, for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Of course, for all the great music you've given us and continue to bring, and I wish you lots of luck and success. Can't wait till you guys start touring. Make sure you come to Florida.
Yes.
It's a good music town. And if there's anything else I can do for you guys, you know, let me know. We're going to air this tonight, and it'll be on, like, 5 really popular music sites, YouTube, awesome. iHeartRadio, iTunes. I'm going to put it everywhere, so.
I love it.
Anything
thank
I
you.
Can do to help.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick. Keep in
really
touch,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate the support.
Keep in touch.
Talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. You can download the new single by Empty Trail entitled My World. At https://emptytrail.link.to/z925tid. And of course, you can get all the information you need from their website at www.emptytrail.com. For more information about Rick Lampert and Empty Trail. You can also find them on Instagram.com/EmptyTrail, Facebook.com/EmptyTrailMusic, and bandsintown.com/EmptyTrail. A very special thanks to Hannah Wolfram, publicity coordinator, and for Chipster PR and Consulting for arranging this interview with Rick Lampert, and of course, the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsome of BBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. You can please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews, and it is real news, people. Don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, available now at Amazon.com. You will live it. There's kind of like a movie trailer on YouTube that you can check out. It's just punch in Check the G's on YouTube, and you will see what the book is all about. Have a great week, everybody!
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.